When Jeff Wetzler was chief learning officer at Teach for America, he received an urgent phone call that shattered his confidence. A major summer institute was on the brink of collapse just months before launch. The shocking part? His team had known about these critical problems for weeks. Despite regular check-ins and what he thought was open communication, no one had said a word. This wasn't about incompetence or malice. It was about something far more universal: the vast chasm between what people know and what they're willing to share. Here's the uncomfortable truth. We're terrible at reading minds. Research shows we're barely more accurate than a coin flip when guessing what others think or feel. Yet, we walk through life convinced we understand our colleagues, partners, and children. This false confidence costs us dearly. The solution sounds absurdly simple. Just ask. But as Wetzler discovered, asking is a skill most of us never learned. We've been taught to speak persuasively, to present confidently, to argue convincingly, but rarely to draw out the wisdom hiding in the minds around us. Picture a page divided down the middle. On the right side, write what was actually said in your last difficult conversation. On the left, write everything you thought but didn't say. This exercise, developed by Harvard professor Chris Argyris, reveals a startling pattern. Our most valuable insights often remain trapped in this left-hand column, never making it into actual dialogue. Four types of critical information typically stay hidden: the struggles we desperately need help with, our true thoughts about important issues, honest feedback that could help others improve, and our wildest ideas that might sound crazy. When this information remains locked away, we make worse decisions, miss creative breakthroughs, and watch relationships slowly deteriorate. The statistics are sobering. Over 85% of managers have kept silent about important concerns with their bosses. Nearly half of employees don't feel comfortable speaking up about issues that worry them. And this isn't just a workplace problem. Between 60 to 80% of Americans withhold relevant health information from their doctors, fearing judgment. Even in our most intimate relationships, we hold back what matters most. The cost is invisible but enormous: trapped wisdom that could transform our decisions, teams, and communities if only we knew how to unlock it. People withhold wisdom for deeply human reasons. The biggest barrier is fear of impact. Will this upset them? Will I be judged? Research shows we overestimate how uncomfortable our feedback makes others feel, yet the fear persists. For those with less power, who often possess the most valuable information, these stakes feel higher. For marginalized groups who've faced consequences for speaking truth to power, silence isn't paranoia, it's survival. The second barrier is difficulty expressing complex thoughts. Your brain processes ideas at 900 words per minute, but speaks only 125. Others hear roughly 14% of what's in your mind. Corporate cultures compound this by valuing traditional analysis while dismissing intuition and emotional expression. The third barrier is exhaustion. A 2022 Deloitte survey found 77% of professionals experiencing burnout. When running on empty, honest communication feels impossible. The fourth barrier is believing input doesn't matter. If someone felt unheard before, they won't risk sharing again. Curiosity isn't just personality, it's a choice. Neuroscience reveals curiosity activates our brain's learning centers, creating drive similar to hunger. Connective curiosity, genuine desire to understand others' experiences, transforms relationships. When you show authentic interest, people realize their knowledge is valuable. Yet our brains work against us through certainty loops, confirmation bias that makes interpretations feel like objective truth. When your amygdala triggers fight, flight, freeze, or fawn responses, there's a fifth option: find out mode. As Kim Scott advises, when you're furious, get curious. Psychological safety transforms speaking up from terrifying to inviting. Start with genuine connection by asking about someone's relationship with their work. What's the story behind how you landed here? Connection requires reciprocity. You must also reveal yourself. True connection emerges when we discover shared humanity beneath surface differences. Physical space matters profoundly. Former CEOs like Irene Rosenfeld deliberately flattened hierarchies by meeting employees on their turf, factory floors, sales calls, cafeterias, avoiding power symbols like imposing executive desks. Some people, including many with autism, prefer text-based exchanges. Adapt to their preferred medium. Add 25 to 75% more time for important conversations. After creating connection, explain your intentions and demonstrate humility. Journalist Amanda Ripley found pretending neutrality made interviewees suspicious. Now she openly acknowledges limitations. "I live in DC. Mostly everyone I know is a Democrat. I am vastly ignorant about your life in rural Wyoming." Finally, radiate resilience, your ability to handle whatever truth they share. Acknowledge potential feelings. "If I were in your shoes, I might be feeling frustrated." Explicitly asking for feedback reduces cognitive stress. We're born questioners. Young children ask 25 to 50 questions per hour, peaking at 390 daily around age 4. Then, tragedy strikes. Upon entering school, questions plummet to 2 per hour. Our education system rewards knowing over wondering, and by adulthood, only 15 to 25% of executive interactions include genuine questions. Most fall into 3 problematic categories: clumsy questions that shut down inquiry through closed-ended phrasing, sneaky questions designed to influence rather than learn, and attack questions that weaponize inquiry. Quality questions signal genuine curiosity and invite honest sharing. To truly understand someone's perspective, explore their complete ladder of understanding, how they select information, interpret it, and reach conclusions. Start by asking for their headline, then dig deeper into their reasoning and feelings. Even when someone shares openly, we often misinterpret their meaning. Ask clarifying questions. "What do you mean by that?" This prevents misunderstandings and slows conversations for thoughtful processing. One particularly powerful question: "How might I have contributed to the challenge we're facing?" This acknowledges that problems rarely have a single cause and invites honest reflection on our own role. Despite 96% of people believing they're good listeners, we retain less than half of what we hear and listen with only 25% efficacy. Effective listening requires intention, not to prove, persuade, or fix, but to truly understand. Psychologist Carl Rogers called this thinking with people instead of for or about them, tuning into 3 channels: content, facts, emotion, feelings through tone and body language, and action, what someone aims to accomplish. 7 approaches transform listening immediately. First, eliminate distractions, phones, and racing thoughts. Second, embrace silence. Researcher Mary Budd Rowe found 3-second pauses after questions dramatically increased creativity and learning. Third, watch your face. Your expressions determine what others feel safe sharing. Fourth, paraphrase to demonstrate attention and allow clarification. Fifth, pull the thread with follow-ups like, "Can you say more?" to uncover hidden information. Sixth, respect boundaries. Honoring someone's no builds trust for future sharing. Finally, avoid back-to-self listening. Ask 3 follow-up questions before relating your own experience. The hardest part isn't asking questions or listening, it's deciding what to do with what you hear. When someone shares candid responses, you owe them 2 steps: reflect on what you've heard, then reconnect. The 3 turns provide structured reflection. Turn 1, how does this affect my story about this situation? Turn 2, what steps can I take? 3, how does this relate to my deeper assumptions and biases? After reflection comes reconnection. Show gratitude, framing their input as a gift. Demonstrate impact through content, summarizing what you learned, emotion, sharing how it moved you, and action, what you're committing to do. Even without taking action, share your reflection process honestly. People expect serious consideration, not total agreement. When Jeff and his colleague Ilan faced organizational challenges, they publicly walked through their 3 reflective turns before their entire team. Though uncomfortable, the team responded with a standing ovation. Seeing leaders vulnerable increased their confidence in the leadership. Vulnerability paired with thoughtful reflection becomes strength. In a world rewarding quick answers, asking questions can feel like weakness. Yet organizations making asking their superpower unlock collective genius. Emily Weiss revolutionized beauty with Glossier by treating customers as untapped information sources. The most valuable organizational knowledge comes from frontline employees, teachers, nurses, customer service representatives, yet few companies effectively tap this wisdom. Organizations must formally integrate learning into performance evaluation, or it remains a nice to have. This extends to raising the next generation. Children ask 25 to 50 questions hourly, yet this curiosity plummets upon entering school. To nurture innate inquisitiveness, we must expose children to diverse perspectives, create curiosity rituals, and become askable adults they can approach without fear of judgment. We live in an age of unprecedented information access, yet starve for genuine understanding. The wisdom we need isn't hiding in databases, it's sitting across from us. The question isn't whether that wisdom exists, but whether we're brave enough to ask for it, humble enough to receive it, and wise enough to act on it.